Hello everyone, this is Lara. Welcome to Math for Knitters. Today I've got quite a show for you. Hopefully I don't make too much of a mess of it, but if I do, I hope you'll let me know. I finally got a fantastic designer to let me deconstruct her pattern. And what's even better is that it's a free pattern from Knitty, so you can go and download it or print it and walk along with me through the podcast. The pattern is called Starsky. It's by Jordana Page, and I don't know which issue it was in, but if you go to knitty.com and go to the archive, it's under cardigans. And it's a really snazzy jacket pattern. Basically, what you will need to resize this sweater is graph paper, plain paper, a copy of the pattern, and lots of patience. Now, I'm not trying to scare anyone, but it is important to remember that resizing a pattern can be every bit as difficult as designing one from scratch, as in my opinion. So, just a quick disclaimer, I am going to cop out on some of this, but hopefully this is still useful. Now, the happy problem with Knitty patterns is that they do have a very wide range of sizes. I actually had a hard time finding any that really needed this sort of treatment. So instead, I'm going to talk about the absolute minimum size for this sweater in its given gauge, and then I'm going to talk about if you wanted to do the sweater in a different gauge, what you would do. And basically, it's a really fun pattern, and it's done in a bulky yarn. And yeah, so let's get started. Okay, there is also a knit along of this project going on, and I'll have a link to that in the show notes. I'll also have a link to the fantastic designer, Jordana Page. I looked at her website and I love her stuff. She's really fun. So you need a good copy of the pattern. You need to read it carefully. She's very clear. For instance, she says right off that this is 8 inches of ease pattern. It's meant to be worn as a jacket. So if you have a 32 inch bust, you want to make the 40 inch size. And then, in fact, that's the smallest size that she has. She goes all the way up to 57.5 inches, which I thought was pretty generous. And the nice thing about cardigans is they don't have to be an exact fit. You can wrap them a little tighter or a little looser, so you can get a little bit of ease that way. Now, the thing about it that might make it difficult to change the size is that it is a pattern with real pattern in it. It has cables, and that's not insignificant, but you may want to do someday change a pattern from that has cables or that has lace. And the ideas I'm laying out today will cover both of those events. The first thing that you need to do very carefully is a large gauge swatch. You want to do a swatch that includes the main pattern in the pattern. For instance, here we've got, I believe it's called, let me look what it's called. It's called the banana tree pattern. Also with whatever stockinette that's around the pattern or whatever ribbing, if it has ribbing in the pattern, all of that. Just a big fat gauge swatch, because ultimately, if you're going to mess with this, you might need to know what your stitches are like in the actual pattern. One of the nice things about this pattern is she does tell you the suggested gauge in stockinette. And actually, Elizabeth Zimmerman talks about this, that if they give you only the gauge in pattern, it can be hard for you to tell if you're really knitting with the right size needles and what you're supposed to be doing. So she tells you the gauge in stockinette stitch, which is nice. But so the banana tree pattern is 21 stitches wide. Okay, you could add some waist shaping just by messing with the stockinette in between the front and the back of the sweater. You could also make that area ribbed, which would cause it to pull in and be a little snugger. That's just if you really care. The bottom rib and collar is already given in inches, which is great because if you want to make that area narrower or wider, or if you're working in a different yarn with a different gauge, you don't have to convert your row gauge for those sections. you'll have to do it for other sections, but not for that section. So that kind of gets you a free pass. If you're looking for a pattern to change the gauge on, then you really want to look carefully and see how many of the instructions are given in a row by row form and how many are given in terms of inches. The more inches you see, the easier your going will be. So there's that. And I believe the shaping for the collar, which is done in short row shaping, will work as long as you pay attention and keep your head straight and maybe ignore the actual numbers. But I didn't really work out that part, but it looks pretty straightforward. So when I sat down and I thought, what can I do to this sweater? A 40.5 inches bust minus 8 is 32 and a half inches. That's pretty small. That's typically an American size 6 for a woman. So I thought, gosh, that is really small. But what's the smallest this pattern could be without altering the actual stitch pattern of 21 stitches? So I went through and I said, okay, the back has three of these, so it's 21 times 3 is 63, plus 2 stitches to be the single knit stitch in between the panel, so it gives you 65 stitches. Although when you're actually knitting it, you'd have to add a couple more stitches on the ends to give you a seam allowance, because this is a seamed sweater, unless you were designing it to be seamless, back and forth, or steeked, in which case you could ignore that. And then for the fronts, you would have one 21-stitch panel plus 2 stitches, because I like the idea of having, besides the seam allowance, just a little purl, just a little knit stitch, defining the pattern a little more carefully. So that would be 23 stitches per front panel. So 23 times 2 is 46. And then we add the back to the two fronts, which gives us 111 stitches. Now, in order to estimate the gauge for this sweater over the pattern, I didn't actually make a gauge swatch to do this, but I said, okay, the total number of the stitches for the small size without the collar is 142 stitches, and the size that she says without the collar would be 37 inches. So 142 divided by 37 is 3.8 stitches per inch. Now, this is a very rough guideline. If I were actually going to knit this pattern, I would do, in this smaller size, I would really do a big fat gauge swatch to see what I really was getting. But in the end, 111 stitches divided by 3.8 stitches per inch gives you 29 inches. When you add back on the 3.5 inches for the collar, which is also the kind of the button band, there isn't really a button band in this pattern, but if there were, it would be here. That gives you 32.5 inches minus 8 inches of ease, gives you 24 and a half inches at the chest, which, in my opinion, pretty darn small. I think that's about as small as you would want to make this sweater. I think that's about a 5-year-old child. It would be adorable, by the way, on a 5-year-old child, I think. And I don't have any 5-year-olds running around, so if you measure your 5-year-old and find her to be larger than this, I'm sorry. Don't take my word on how big a 5-year-old child is, but also, in fact, feel free to email or leave a comment on the show notes and tell me 5-year-olds are bigger than that. But anyway, so that's the logical limit to how small this sweater could be. And you're going to start running into trouble, though, if you try to just make the sweater with those instructions, because clearly I haven't told you anything about how to do the shoulders or how to do the neckline. Now, I'm going to just cop out on this one because I frankly don't have the energy, time, motivation needed to design a set-in sleeve for a sweater for a 24-inch person. Now, if you do, of course, I will include links to the Knitty article about designing your own sleeves, and that is fantastic. Also, I have a great resource which tells you if a person is a size 6, for instance, this is their armhole depth, this is their width across the back, this is the actual size of the person at the wrist. So I'll include that. And if you feel like doing that, just go for it. I would love to hear about your efforts. But I would cheat if I were doing this for a 29-inch person. I would actually just make it a raglan shoulder instead of a set-in shoulder. Now, I know set-in shoulders are prettier, but they are also much more difficult. And if you're already making this thing for this tiny person, then you might just save yourself the energy and do raglans. Raglans look great. They're very flexible. In my opinion, they last. And they're fantastic. The only way that they're not good is on, I feel, in larger size sweaters that can be kind of droopy. So I don't think that they're attractive unless they're fit very closely to the body on larger sizes. Now, to do the raglan sweater, all you would have to do is know the depth of from the bottom of the sweater to the person's armpit, and then you would start decreasing on the back by 2 on the right side, that's 1 on each side, until you have 23 stitches left, and then I would just shape the back of the neck. For the fronts, I would really consider using a graph paper to make a dry run of how the collar sleeve shaping will work. And that way, it might be frustrating, but it's a lot less frustrating than knitting it wrong and having to tear it out 100 times. So that's my advice about that. Now, the other thought I had for this sweater was, what if you thought this was a fantastic sweater and you were really, really excited about making it, but you already had some yarn and it was worsted weight yarn? Now, first of all, I want to say I don't know a really reliable way to estimate exactly how much worsted weight yarn you'll need for this sweater. But if you try to estimate, do not go by the weight of the yarn. What you should do instead is look at the yards, which they list here. So this original yarn, the Knit Pick Sierra, comes with 110 yards a skein, and you're going to need 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 skeins depending on your size. The problem is when you make the substitution from one yarn to another, for instance, a finer yarn for a fatter yarn, then I usually knit by following the instructions for the largest size. Now, that would probably mean I would want 1,400, more than that, 14 times 110, which I don't know, but I will tell you. 1 second. Calculator loading. 14 times 110 is 1,540 yards. So 1,540 yards. I don't know what that is in meters, I'm sorry. But here you are, or actually that's or 1,400 meters, because they do list that's 100 meters per skein. And that would be a good estimate of where to start with your yarn purchasing. I would probably get one more extra just to be sure. So there's the yarn. And what I do with when I'm substituting one yarn for another, especially if they are different weights, is first I look at how it might affect the pattern in terms of the drape and the fit. Now, in the past, I've talked about ease and how drape and fabric affects ease. For this pattern, I'm still thinking you're going to want a lot of ease, because you're going to be wearing it as a jacket over a lot of other clothes. So I would still keep the 8 inches of ease. And what I do for this is I actually have 2 colors of pen. I have a black pen for what I'm going to do and a blue pen for what the original pattern says to do. So in this case, the original gauge is 16 stitches by 18 rows for 4 inches over stockinette. And then my gauge, for instance, for this hypothetical worsted weight yarn, might be 20 stitches and 24 rows for every 4 inches. Now, if you're quick, you'll see that's 5 stitches to an inch, as opposed to 4 stitches to an inch on the original gauge. All right, since I am changing from a larger gauge to a smaller gauge, I'm going to look at the largest size for the pattern and see what happens if I knit from those instructions. So I look at the casting on for the back, which says here is 116 stitches. I divide it by my new gauge, which is 5 stitches to the inch, and that gives me a 23.2 inch cast on. So I take 23 inches, I multiply that by 4 stitches to the inch, which is the original gauge, and I get 92.8 stitches. So then I look and I see that 92.8 is in between the second and the third size given for this sweater, which in this case would be the medium and the large, or 44 and 47 and a half inches. So that would probably get me a sweater that's about 45 inches round. So 45 minus 8, which is the ease, is going to be 37, I believe. Yeah, something like that, 37, which is just about right for the size that I want for this sweater. So I'm going to go through my pattern and circle everywhere that the instructions say the XXL size. And I might even cross out the ones that don't, just so that I don't mess up too bad. Now that essentially has translated the whole sweater in terms of its stitch gauge or its width from the old gauge to my new gauge that I'm actually using. The only place I have to think about anything else is when I have the vertical gauge to worry about. And this is a reason to do a very, very good gauge swatch indeed. Because basically I'm going to look at the shaping of every particular thing, like the neckline or the sleeves, and I'm going to convert it from the old vertical gauge to the new vertical gauge. And this requires looking at both the large and the small picture for that shaping. For instance, if you look at the neckline shaping for the left side, let me get there in my pattern. Yep. So the left front neck shaping, which by the way, you do your armhole shaping at the same time, although I'm not going to go through that, but you can use the same principles. For instance, if I look at the macro shaping for the largest size, I'm going to decrease 14 times in 14 times 4 rows, okay? So I'm supposed to decrease every 4 rows, and I'm going to do it a total of 14 times. The first time I do it, and 13 times more. 14 times 4 is 56, all right? So if I convert that into my inches. Yeah, so 14 stitches in the old pattern, in the old gauge, is divided. So 14 divided by 4 is 3.5 stitches, or 3.5 inches. So I'm decreasing 3.5 inches worth of stitches in what was 56 rows. So I'll have to take 56 rows and divide by 4.5, which is the old row gauge, which will give me 12.4 inches. So that's my inches. And so then I'm going to convert between inches and my new gauge. So new gauge, 3.5 inches times 5 stitches per inch equals 17.5 stitches. All right. Now, for row gauge, 12.4 inches times 6, because my new gauge is 6 rows to the inch, equals 74.4 rows. All right. So now I've got some rounding to do. For the first one, I'm going to decide that I'm going to do 18 decreases in 74 rows. All right. Now, I realize that might be hard to follow, especially with me stumbling over my own words as I am today. But I'm actually going to write this particular section out in the show notes just to save you from straining to play back this section and mess with yourself and everything. So the really good news is I'm going to write a note to myself, put in notes. The really good news is when you divide 74 by 18, you get a number that is very, 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 very close to 4. It's like 4.111111111. Now, clearly you can't decrease every 4.111111111 rows, so you're just going to decrease every 4 rows, which is great because that's the way the original pattern works too, but you're going to decrease every 4 rows 18 times instead of 14 times, so that you still come out with the right number of the correct width at the end. So that's kind of convenient. And you can use that same method for any kind of shaping conversion. And what I'll do is I'll write this out in terms of the example I just gave you, but also more generally if I can. So, gosh, I did a lot of work to do this very mumbly, quick way of doing this. I hope that it's clear enough. If it is not, feel free to leave me a note on the show notes. My website address for the show is www.math4knitters, that's the number 4.blogspot.com. And I will have those notes and I will have those links for you. And I hope this was useful. And if you find a sweater pattern that you desperately, desperately want to alter and don't know how or are unsure how to proceed, please contact the designer if you can first and ask for permission to do it on the air, and then let me know that the person says it's okay and what the pattern is and where I can find it, and I will do my best to muddle through that one as well. I hope you enjoyed the show. I know I've been derelict in July. There's just been a lot going on around here, but hopefully in August I'll start doing it every week, except that there is one week that I'm going to do my thesis, so I won't be podcasting that week. But hopefully I'll get back on track. It's great talking to you guys. I love podcasting. I love reading your comments on the blog, and this has just been a really fun adventure for me so far. So, all right, I'll see you guys later. Bye.